Hey everybody, I'm Zach Brittle. I'm here with my friend and colleague, Laura Heck. You're listening to the Marriage Therapy Radio podcast, where we are very funny, pretty brilliant, occasionally insightful, and we're trying to offer practical tips for you and your relationship, whether you're in a marriage or in a therapy practice. Today we're talking about one of my favorite topics, which is the topic of play. I hear people say all the time that they just want to feel like they're good teammates or that they're just teammates. And that begs a question for me about what the game is and what's the goal of the game and how do you win. And so stick around and I'll talk to you soon.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Good. I have so many fun things I'm looking forward to. I want to just verbal diarrhea all the things that are coming up for me that I'm so excited because we haven't talked in a couple of weeks. I've stored them up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go.
Iceland.
Going to Iceland. That's going to be cool.
Super cool. You know what's awful is that every time I get excited and I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going to go to Iceland. And my mom's response to it was, why? And then somebody else's response was, oh, yeah, everybody's going to Iceland these days. And that's not at all what I thought the response was going to be. I thought people would be like, whoa, Iceland, that is an unusual location to go. Like, wow, you're so adventurous.
Yeah.
But it does turn out that Iceland is really pushing their tourism and it is a really cool spot. Actually, David Penner, the guy that I teach with, you know him, but our listeners don't. He came home with the most amazing pictures of the Aurora Borealis. And ever since then, I just decided I needed to go. So we're going to rent an RV and take our son with us. And we're just going to go see everything we possibly can in 7 days.
Nice. Wow. 7 days. Well, it's short too because you like fly up over the North Pole, right?
So
it feels fairly far away, but it's like a short little flight.
It is. It's not as long of a flight as you would expect, which is why we chose to do Iceland because we're flying. This is going to be the longest flight that Holden goes on. So it's a 9-hour flight from Salt Lake, but it's only 7 hours direct from New York. No, New York is only 5 hours. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm, I can.
Okay. Yeah. But 7 hours from Seattle, 5 hours from New York. And then once you're in Iceland, it's only 3 hours over to London. So now if you ever go to Iceland, just tell them that I sent you and they will know.
I'll just tell Iceland that you sent me.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's new with you? Tell me about this cycling thing that's going on. Are you picking up a new hobby? Did you find yourself a hobby?
All right. So I hired this magician to have my birthday party, which is next month.
All right, are you seven? What?
No, I'm 45. But I hired a guy to do a magic lesson for me and some of my friends, mm-hmm. and he was all into it. And then and my friends were into it, and it was going to be really exciting. And we were going to play ping pong, and we were going to watch The Godfather.
Oh my gosh!
I know, right? Slumber party and everything. And then So I nailed it down, and then like 2 days later, he emailed me and said, yeah, I can't do it. I'm not available anymore.
Yeah, I'm super creeped out by the fact that a 45-year-old wants me to come to his birthday party.
Anyway, so I won't be learning that magic, so I've been watching YouTube videos. But then the sun has come out here in Seattle, and I dropped off my daughter somewhere the other day, and I was driving home.
Skid Row. Just dropped my daughter off.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And all these guys were on their bikes and I was like, I'm going to get back on my bike. And then I thought, I'm going to do is I'm going to do a triathlon this summer. And so I pulled into my driveway and Rebecca was waiting there for me. And I got out of the car and I said, babe, I think I'm going to do a triathlon this summer. And she said, there's no way that you can do a triathlon this summer.
That's my thought exactly. But I'm super encouraging. Go for it, man. You do within you.
Within about 20 minutes, I had registered for a triathlon. It's 10 weeks from yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah. Let's see pictures. So, so you have 10 weeks, 10 weeks. Okay. So you have 10 weeks to train for your triathlon. Yep. Are you a strong swimmer? Oh, you are.
Yes.
Okay. So swimming. So what is it's running probably that you're not so hot at.
Yeah. Running will be the hardest for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you have been running because you go to Orange Theory. So you've been training on a treadmill for years now. You just haven't been doing long distances.
Yeah. I haven't done like standard 3 miles. It's 3.8 miles is this triathlon. And running on a treadmill, obviously, is different than running on the ground. But I'll be ready. I can do it.
Do you know what I would have to do? And is this illegal if I take a kickboard? Because I don't actually know how to swim. I float just fine and I can get from place to place, but I don't know how to swim like an athlete. Can you take a kickboard? Because if I was to do a triathlon, I would require a kickboard.
I think you probably can, because the triathlon you're going to be in isn't going to be like...
You don't know this.
For the Olympics or
anything. You don't know this. I could be an athlete. You don't know.
No, I'm just saying, like, you're not going to be in one of these, like, you know, Olympic qualifiers.
Yeah.
It's going to be a recreational triathlon. And
probably.
Somebody might say, you can't have that kickboard. And you can be like, yes, I can.
It's my comfort kickboard.
Yeah.
It's like my comfort pet. Well, that's really cool. I'm excited for you. You should take before and after photos, and I'll take before and after photos, because right now I'm on a 12-week health and wellness kick where I'm going to be just really focused on my nutrition. And I think you and I will be significantly different looking people and hopefully happier.
Yeah, but I don't really care how I look. I'm not really into my looks.
I care how you look. And I guarantee your wife cares what you look like as well.
I don't know. I think she's made some trade-offs.
That big old brain of yours.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. What are we talking about? We're just, we haven't seen each other for such a long time. So we're just we're catching up.
I know that you and I both have this. So couples come into the office and I always say, how can I help? And we hear a whole bunch of things that are similar. And at this point for me, a lot of them are unsurprising. They're sort of cliches. And so I want to talk today about one that that I hear a lot and that's made me think a lot, because I hear people say, I just want to feel like we're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
I just want us to feel like we're on the same. And I don't know if that's resonated for you or for you guys who are listening,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean anything yet until you start to explore what it means. And so I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be on the same team, or what it means to include and value play in the relationship, and how play is different than work. I mean, again, another thing I hear is, I just want us to feel like we're partners,
right.
You know?
Right.
And I go, well, teammates play and partners, like in a law firm, they work, and you kind of have to do both. But I don't want to spend too much time on the work part today as much as
the play.
Talk a little bit about... Yeah. You know, like, how do you tease each other into a triathlon, or how do you decide that Iceland is a thing that you're going to do, you know? So that's what's on my mind today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because when you first started talking about being on the same team or being on the same page, I think that's what I hear more often, is I just want to be on the same page. But the whole idea that the two people are coming together and have a unified idea of what they're doing. They're in sync. How about that? In sync? You'd be like team members of a band, bandmates.
Well, I mean, I think though, like, I want to be on the same team. The first question it begs for me is, what is the game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you playing at? Because even, a teammates, say on a football team, on offense and defense, those teammates are never on the field at the same time.
Right.
They're not, you know, teammates on a crew race, on a rowing race, their job is to do the exact same thing in the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, soccer, those teammates are playing in the same direction, but usually they have specialized roles or skills, you know? So I think people need to understand that being on the same team, it's not necessarily an easily understood metaphor. Or an easy thing to achieve, unless you have some sense of what is the game that we're playing at and what is the role that we each believe that we can bring to the game, you know?
You just started, my brain went in a direction because I have this background. I love football, not the way that you love football. But when I was in college, I worked for the football team. So I learned a bit about football and it was really cool. But when you started to mention about offense and defense, a lot of these guys, you have all of these little individual teams within a larger team. You have your special teams, and you have your quarterbacks, and they only practice with each other. And then like your DBs are all together. But one of the things I started thinking about is with parenting, when I had parents come in, and it felt like what they were doing was they're basically, it was like just trading off the field. So the kid was the field. And then they just kind of kept trading on and off, on and off, on and off. Okay, so I'm going to cook dinner. You hang out with the kid and play with the kid. And then and I'm going to take a break, or you're going to take a break. And then I'm going to take the kid upstairs and we're going to bathe the kid. And I had this couple and they basically said, like, we are with our children all day long, but we're never together with our kids. Mm-hmm. We're more or less playing tag team as opposed to working as a team. And that was the goal that they were really trying to figure out, was like, how do we actually spend time together? Because it was both exhausting. And the whole reason why they're playing tag team was because they needed a break. They were exhausted. But at the same time, it was sucking the life out of their relationship because they were trading this whole idea of like tag teaming for the kids. And the trade-off was that they weren't connecting as a couple.
And well, I think it goes back to, oh, sorry.
Well, and so like, I was just going to say the solution was that they were going to try and play more and make it fun and find a way to relax and de-stress in the company of their children, because they felt like they couldn't do that, that they needed to have alone time, or they needed to get away from their kids in order to de-stress or decompress. And so we found ways for them to actually enjoy their time as a family where they were all together, but they were also getting that downtime.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to what we were talking about on last week's podcast, or I think it was last week, but sort of the purpose of the marriage, you know, that's what's the purpose? That's the game, right? If the purpose is to not murder your children or murder each other while you're raising your children, that's right. Really different than like managing the children and raising them up in a particular way while maintaining the long-term vision for your relationship, you know, like that's, you know, and one of my favorite sort of metaphors or philosophies around this is.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
It also asks the question of what's the purpose of the game, kind of back to that purpose question, because some people, we're conditioned to think that the purpose of a game is to win. You know, you step on a football field, the goal is at the end of four quarters, you have more points than the other team.
Right.
Or if I'm in a crew race, I just got to get to the finish line before the other boats do, you know? So I think our hardwiring is to win. And so this idea of being on the same team sometimes positions our game more like a contest than like a play, like an adventure. And I challenge couples to sort of reframe that to what's called a guy named David Kars. Last name is definitely Kars. Introduced to me this idea called the infinite game, wherein the purpose is to prolong the game. It's to keep it going. So the rules of the game of marriage, of playing, shouldn't be to win. I say all the time, if one of you is winning, you're both losing.
Right.
But rather to push out the end of it. And the end is typically death or divorce. But we want to as much as possible enjoy the game, change the rules if we need to in order to be able to keep playing, you know? And I think that's where people get into trouble, because they feel like they're not on the same team, maybe because they're playing at cross purposes.
I was thinking about, like, what is the benefit of play in relationships, and what can we get out of play? Because if you have this, if you go back to a couple episodes and you discover that the purpose of your marriage isn't necessarily to enjoy your partner as a friend, but is to raise children, then you're kind of missing out on this opportunity for play. And I think that play is super important. But one of the benefits that I found with play, and it kind of went back to children, when we teach kids how to play as kids and how to play like a board game, you're not flipping the board game over when you get upset. It's learning how to cooperate and also how to sort of like compromise. And it's learning how to have just like a really healthy environment while competing with one another. And you're teaching your kids basically how to play this game early on. And I think that it can be really interesting because oftentimes when you see couples trying to compromise with one another, it can be helpful to play that out in an environment of play where mm-hmm. you are learning compromise and you're learning competition and you're learning how to cooperate in this environment of play, as well as in the context of, okay, you know, we're learning, we actually have a problem to solve in this relationship. And so it's giving you more context and more opportunity to practice, but it's not in such a heavy environment. Does that part make sense?
It does. And I think you're talking about actually playing, like actually playing board games or actually playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think of things as being more physical because I'm a much more physical person. I do enjoy board games. And actually, I love game nights with other couples and getting people mm-hmm. together. But I really think that it's fun to be able to get outside and actually play physically.
Sure.
You know, having a high dive contest at the pool and just playing with your partner.
Yeah. And I'm talking too about not to dismiss that at all. In fact, I often recommend that couples play cribbage. A lot of mm-hmm. people play cribbage, but understand what cribbage is, but they haven't played it in years and years and years. And I'm like, just pull it out. You've got a board somewhere in a closet somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, go do that. Or I have a board game that I like to recommend that challenges people to just kind of learn a new style of play, which is cool. And I can tell you about that in a second. But I'm also talking about being playful, not literally playing, but just introducing playfulness into the relationship. I think it helps you not take each other so seriously, or rather not take yourselves so seriously. I think a lot of conflict is based in this sort of commitment to sincerity or commitment to or conviction. And that's why we end up arguing about stuff that doesn't matter because we don't recognize it. Like, it just doesn't, some of this stuff just doesn't matter.
You've mentioned in the past ways where your family introduces playfulness in your household by turning music on. And I think that music is a great mood setter of being able to like set the playful mood in the house. Are there other recommendations that you would have for couples or things that you've seen how people
I thought you were going to mention the other big thing that we have in our house that helps us kind of mitigate, especially like petty complaints, is we blame everything on the troll that lives in the bathroom. because if the troll did it, then nobody else needs to get in trouble.
Good.
So,
I like that.
Anyway. Yeah. So we have a troll that lives in our bathroom.
Good. You blame everything on the troll.
Yeah.
It was the troll who spilled spilled the milk and didn't clean it up. It was the troll okay.
Yeah.
We dance a lot in the house. So we have dance parties. And I think you might have seen some videos. My son is really taken to it. He is an incredible dancer at the age of 3. I think it's because he has he's low to the ground. But I'm trying to think of other ways that we are really playful. Oh, have I told you about this? Like every time we think it's really important to greet your partner at the door when they come home. So now we've taken to scaring. So we try to scare each other and we're constantly hiding. So anytime somebody comes home, we'll hide and then we will just scare the crap out of them. Usually it's a lot of screaming in the house, which I'm sure the renters downstairs really appreciate.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, I think the principle is more important than the actual practice. And that's just the way I think in general. But I think if you can commit to including play in the relationship, making it lighter, making it easier, feeling more committed to prolonging the game than winning the game, or feeling more committed to understanding whether or not these rules are helpful versus being willing to, like, or having to stick to rules no matter what, you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes we make these rules that are, last night's a really good example. We have a kind of a mentor friend who is home from college, a mentor friend to my daughter who's now in college and who's now home for the summer. And she was just over hanging out in her house after bedtime, you know, and we kind of were having to decide, like, do we care more about bedtime?
Right.
Or about having this environment of just comfort and connection in our house. And you know, the bed time's important, but we were willing to sort of go, no, but we're just going to kind of chill here. And we were listening to music and we were having a little bit of a dance party and just kind of hearing about, you know, this friend's year. So I don't know. I think there's just lots of options that you, that to me, it's hard. It's very hard to work with couples who don't have a sense of humor or a sense of play. And so I often try to introduce that just for the sake of ease.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Man, I could go on and on and on about this idea of play and the importance of play and what it does for your relationship, what it does for you psychologically and physiologically, and how helpful it is. And maybe we'll keep going, but I really like what you said about the idea of the rules of the game and remaining as flexible as possible and just recognizing it's about prolonging the game rather than winning the game, which would mean that you're following the rules to a T. So, gosh, that's really good. I'm really curious to hear from our listeners ways in which they play in their relations, because I think that it would be really fun for us to be able to share different examples, whether you are a household that plays a game every night. For a while, Ryan and I, when our son was really little and we weren't necessarily engaging as much with him, we did have a cribbage board at the dinner table and we would play a game every single night while we were eating dinner. And that was just a part of our connection. And then
one couple I have, they have a ping pong table in their basement, and they, when they get near conflict or they start to get flooded, they can sort of automatically decide to go play ping pong.
Yes.
And they are playing to like 5,000. They don't play games to 21. They just go down and they knock the ball around for however long until they've calmed down and the tone has changed.
Yeah.
And so I think it can be effective in a lot of ways. One other way I want to mention is, and this is probably its own episode, but I think introducing play in the bedroom is really important because for a lot of couples, the sex and sexuality is fraught with seriousness and some shame and some heaviness and some fear. And I think play can be represented by, you know, toys and role plays and costumes or whatever, but mostly it's just a spirit of like, we don't have to take ourselves so seriously here. Like this can be a thing that we choose to enjoy and choose to call playful.
Yeah.
Without disrespecting it or one another. And I think that's an important, again, that may be a whole other episode.
It totally is. I have to tell you, this is really funny. So I took my son to Sky High, one of those trampoline parks.
Sky High Airlines, Sky High Airlines. I will give $1 to anyone who can tell me where that comes from.
Sing it again.
Sky High Airlines, Sky High Airlines.
Okay. Sky High Airlines.
You know what? I will mail you $2. I will mail you a $2 bill if you can tell me where that jingle comes from.
Email info@4better.us to win your $2 bill, because Zach has a drawer full of them. And
signed $2. I'll sign it.
Yeah.
I'll autograph it.
Okay. I have to tell you though, just as the last thing is, I'm at Sky High and I'm kind of going through all these different
Sky High.
Zach,
Sky High.
Focus.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I can't.
Your ADD is off the hook today. But I thought it would be really fun to have a date night where we gathered all these couples at Sky High and we just took over the place and everybody had to show up as a superhero. Wouldn't that be so fun? And then we could get like a...
Wait, you didn't actually do it. You just... It's a plan that you have.
I do. Well, we have date nights here in Salt Lake that we host. And so I'm just running through all of these fun ideas. And I thought, wouldn't it be so cool if we like got a professional photographer to come and take pictures of couples, and the couples were all dressed as like Catwoman and like a different Avenger. And then like you're bouncing on the trampolines. I just thought it'd be so fun. I like to play.
Yeah, I think it would be cool.
All right, Sky High Airlines. Well, we're heading out for a 3-day camping adventure with 6 other families, so we're also going to be playing hard this weekend.
Cool.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, lovely weekend.
Hope you had a happy,
happy,
healthy Memorial Day weekend. Or whenever you're listening to this, it's bound to be the weekend soon.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Later.
Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening to episode 30. We were talking about play, and I just wanted to give you the name of the game that Zach had mentioned. So the game, it's a 2-player game, and it's called Lost Cities. Zach's going to explain a little bit more about that game in our next episode, but in case you're super curious, he says, do not buy the deluxe version. And then I just wanted to empower you. Find some way to lighten the mood and energy in your house by playing in some way, whatever it might be. If you're cranking the music up, if you're having a dance party, if you're playing hide and go seek in your house, whatever you can do in order to find play in your relationship. And as always, thank you so much for your time and your energy and your effort in making your relationship better today than it was yesterday. Thanks.